Hi, this is David Kay, and you're listening to Altered Geek. Geek.
Get altered, get geeky, it's a wild ride. Join the discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Altered Geek Podcast, remember the name.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
I hope you keep some of that.
I plan to, Grandpa Simpson.
That's right. Get off my lawn.
That's actually pretty good. Thank you for tuning in. If you like the show, do me a favor and share it on the socials. You can also find it on geekcastradio.com and your favorite podcatcher. And as always, comment on the episode in your desired method and let us know what you'd like to hear next. So, as we kind of get into a little bit of Geekcast Radio housekeeping, as it were, we are almost knee deep in working out the details of the next top 100.
You might say it's the last time we're doing the first top 100.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I would have never guessed us revisiting it, although we did kind of plant the joke in the original, like after it, we'll have to hit this again in 10, 15 years.
15 years later, here we are.
Yeah. So 15 years later, which will be 2026.
Yep.
We'll be debuting the next top 100, which is a revisit to the top 100 animated series countdown. And what's awesome about this is we aren't calling it of all time list, which everybody seems to do, which is annoying because it's not all time. It's subjective to the network.
Yep.
And then on top of it, it's not all time because we all have different opinions on what lands on a top 100.
Yep.
And so that's why we started priming them with the top 100 animated films as a countdown.
Yep.
So it's top 100 countdown. And yep. I've loved that we've stuck with that because then I can market it better with all of them being the same name with just a different theme.
Absolutely.
So we are. So what? Tell us a little bit about the episodes that we're currently recording.
So we are currently recording the dude. He put me on the spot, folks. I wasn't.
We're doing the nominees.
Yeah, so we're doing the bow chicka wah. We're doing the nominees. Let me see if I can pull this up. The top 100 series, the top 100 animated series nominees countdown. So we are doing the nominees, and the nominees will have 5 episodes. The top 100 animated series pre-1980s nominees, the 1980s nominees, the 1990s nominees, the 2000s nominees, get that Y2K crap out of here, and then the 2010s to present nominees. Now, the reason why we are doing the 2010s to present and not the 2010s and the 2020s is because we've only had half a decade so far here in the 2020s. So we're only up to 2025, and basically what this is myself, Steve Megatron here, and Optimus Solo from Cinema Geeks, the Telecast, Tooncast, and other podcasts here on the Geekcast Radio Network. We basically sit down, and Optimus Solo reveals to Steve and myself the nominees of who we think either will or will not be on the, or should be on the list for, or what we're going to vote for to be on the list of the countdown kind of thing. I don't know. Is that accurate?
It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, there's going to be some that show up that we're like, I don't know. I mean, they are the nominees, but the thing is we broke the list because, I mean, the last time we did this, I mean, we didn't really know what we were doing either. And so there were a lot of anime not showing up. And so people were like, you didn't do any anime. You guys suck.
Yeah.
And then there was like other animated series that we didn't do. And, you know, people are like, how could you not have, you know, like, just for example, like Family Guy or, you know, something, you know, South Park. I know that they showed up at some point. Or at least I think they did.
I don't remember.
I haven't finished listening to the original one yet. I still have like one left. But people were like calling us out and everything else. I mean, it was a great discussion and we were able to piggyback off IGN and having their dumpster fire for a list. And we threw it together rather fast and had a multitude of different geek websites. But it was funny just because people were like, this list tracks way better than IGN's list. And
well, the reason really quickly why that is, why our list tracks better than IGN's list, is because IGN's list was an intro page and then 100 pages, 100 web pages that you had to click through and read the descriptions of why they ranked the shows where they ranked them, whereas ours is an audio podcast that people can listen to episode by episode, where we broke it down, since I'm actually on the page right now because I was actually looking for the lists on the website, where we broke it down. Animated series intro, where we discussed where we discussed what the thing is going to be. 100 to 81, 80 to 61, 60 to 41, 40 to 21, and then 20 to 01. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 5 podcast episodes versus 100 web page clicks. Kevin and I spent a night on Skype, because Skype doesn't exist anymore, because Microsoft is a bunch of bullshit bastard. But we spent a night on Skype for like 3.5 hours going through the IGN list. And we were like, what is this? And why is this? And how the hell can we do this better? And that's where we came up with the top 100 animated series countdown that launched the GCRN's, the Geekcast Radio Network's top 100 countdown series. And that's where we got that, and then we went to animated films, TV shows, animated characters, villains, wrestlers, Transformers, toys, and we are here now back in the end, almost the end, because it's September now. We got a few months left here in 2025. We're, you know, almost 14 and 7/10 of a quarter into 2026 of 15 years later, redoing this. And we're redoing it in a way where it's not the same way we approached it before. Some things are the same, but we're also doing it more informed. And 15 years have passed. So many more cartoons have come out in the last 15 years since the first time. And it's going to be different. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun like the last one was, like all of the countdowns are.
I'm like super pumped for this. And then the goal with this one is we're going to hit a lot of the original contributors, and we're going to hit everyone. We're going to at least put out the phishing of the email, you know, to see who wants to contribute, but it's going to be everyone, hopefully. Yep. And we've had a lot over the last, you know, the last 15 years of contributors for this. And so we're like compiling a list. We're working on who we want to reach out to, who we want to, you know, get all of these different lists from. And like my kids are both like, neither one were born when we did the first one.
Nope. They're
both putting together a list. I've got a new list. It's been interesting because with us having 50 per decade or per category, so like the 1960s have like 50 and the 1970s have 50 and 80s have 50 and 90s have 50, it prevents a lot of bias, because the 80s and 90s had probably the strongest animated runs.
Yep.
And so by us eliminating a huge chunk. I mean, I was going through my list and I totally forgot that Mike, Kevin, and I went through this and, you know, created the 50s. Uh-huh. And I was going, well, that one was there, you know, and I'm trying to reuse some. And I ended up with like 17 to 20 that weren't on the list anymore because they were shows that we deemed not relevant mm-hmm. to the top 100 this time. And they were ones on my original list. And truthfully, I was only going to have like 10 to 15 different ones. And now I have like close to, I don't know, 20 or 30 different ones now that weren't on my original list. Might be a little bit more. I think it's two thirds or, you know, from my old list, and another third is probably brand new to my list because I didn't list a lot of stuff the first time. To the point, like a lot of it was just nostalgia digging. This time it's like, okay, what did I enjoy? First of all, mm-hmm. what is prominent in animation? Like what has been going on for a long time? Even if I don't like, for instance, like South Park, I used to watch it when I was a teenager. I don't give a rip about the show now. I don't watch it at all. I haven't watched it in 10, 15 years, probably longer than that. And, but yet it still deserves a place because it's, you know, it's still going. So yeah. in that regard, like some of those things I'm still, I'm listing them even if I don't really want to.
Yeah. I'm going to bring up some Geekcast Radio Network hullabaloo that happens a lot, or it used to anyway. I've only ever seen clips of Family Guy. Because nowadays I'm on Instagram and I'm on YouTube Reels, I'm on Instagram Reels and I'm on YouTube Short Reels and stuff. And I doom scroll, and every now and then I'll run into a Family Guy reel, or somebody will share something with me from Family Guy, or I'll see Family Guy invading some sort of Transformers reel or something. But I've never actively sat down and watched a Family Guy episode. I don't have any feelings toward the show either way. I just have never been interested in watching that show. So we used to get in trouble by our listeners and our fans and even people that just randomly found us. Oh my God, you said you didn't like this, but you said you never watched it. Oh my God, how can you have an opinion on something you never watched or experienced? Blah, 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 blah. So while I recognize the legacy of something like Family Guy, I don't think on my personal list that I will turn in that I can consciously rank something that I've never even seen one episode of, that I've never paid attention to. Okay, you know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't.
See, I have the rule. I had to have at least watched 5 episodes of the show.
I agree with that rule.
And clips and random clips.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with the 5 episode rule. Random clips. I still count it because
if you break it down, like the amount of clips online, it probably breaks down to watching like half a season.
Okay.
Or at least, you know, a 10 episode season.
Yeah. And for reference, I was trying to find this because I wanted to just point this out specifically since I was using Family Guy as a reference. Family Guy came in at number 21 on the original top 100 animated series list. So just to let everybody know that one of the most, let's say, popular, I don't know if it's influential, but popular animated series did almost crack the top 20 of our original top 100 animated series list. So there is that. And that's with me originally putting it at 100 on my list. And that was only because of peer pressure. I will defend that opinion till I die. But
Well, I mean, you'll be happy to know what my kids had on their list. There's a couple of shows, and I'll tell you off air, but yeah.
Oh, no.
No. I mean, you'll genuinely be happy.
Yeah.
It's not a... I was like, really?
Smart children you're raising there.
Let me put it this way. I was surprised what made their top 10. On both of them. Really? I was like, where did you watch this? Like, where, like, how? Like,
they watched it behind your back.
Yeah.
Now, I've never met your children. I've never talked to your children, but maybe my influence is rubbing off.
No, it's the fact I've shown way too much. Because some of the shows are ones I've directly influenced, but doesn't help. I have a geek cabinet in my office, and they come in and they're like, oh, this is cool, blah blah blah. Like, who's this? True. What's this? What blah blah. Mm-hmm. And then they watch whatever it is, and
that's very true.
So
I mean, it like you said, it's going to be very fun. It's going to be very different. It's going to be very interesting. We want as many people. Anyone hearing the sound of my voice right now, as soon as we send all the information out to everybody, please respond. Please participate. It's going to be a blast. You're going to want to participate in this. It's going to be so fun. It really is. It's going to be the spring event of 2026.
Yeah. And let me just put it this way. I have a ton of new features.
Yes,
we're going to roll out.
Yeah, we're not telling them what they are yet, but yes, you do.
I want to say, but yeah. I know I need to wait.
Yeah, we need to wait because we're going to have a whole... Because that's the thing. Once we... So you don't know this, but I'm assuming we were going to do this anyway. I thought we were going to wait until the last episode of the nominees, and then we were going to reveal all the features. That's what I thought we were going to do, but I could be wrong. I think that would be cool if we did it that way, but we can figure that out off air.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but
whatever works.
But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing how people take some of this stuff.
Absolutely.
I will tease. I'm not going to say exactly what it is. And this kind of ties into some of my AI stuff that I've been messing around with the last few months. Because I've been doing a lot of optimizations to the website. I've been speeding up a lot of things. You may notice there's a slider on the homepage below the main slider that looks eerily familiar. I used it.
Version 3!
Yes, I used AI to update the version 3.0 slider because I'm playing around with an idea for that. And so I wanted to create it and update it. And then I have a bunch of other things that it's doing. There's going to be a lot of audience engagement features with this top 100 to hopefully drive enough people to it. One of them is going to be something to do with submissions.
Nice. And
requires no app or other feature per se. It's just going to be something people can
go to the website.
Mm-hmm. Directly to the website. There will be some opportunities for sponsorships and we're going all out on this one. There's even going to be some like opportunities for stuff for fans to participate in the top 100. And that's all I'm going to say for right now until we reveal more information. So, but yeah, these features are working and I've been playing around with them for a while. So I'm hoping to get a lot of the stuff ironed out between now and then, which I don't see why not, because this I have a proposed date time frame and it gives me enough buffer time for some stuff in between, because I have not edited a top 100.
Wait, oh, that's right. You haven't.
Ooh. I have not. Ooh. At all. I don't know. I think Kevin did the first few.
Yeah, I think Kevin did the first few, and then I did the top.
And then you took them over.
Transformers and toys.
Yeah, and I think there was like one that him and Dan took on.
Yeah,
I think too. But yeah, I'm like, I'm gonna throw my hat in. I want to.
Yep.
You know, I want to mess with it. Plus, it's more of a personal challenge thing. I'm like, I did a big audio drama last year that was like over an hour. So now I'm like, I want to torture myself further. I know what work you've done. I've got automations for some of this stuff. So, however, I know with the amount of clips I had to do with the audio drama, what I'm going to be dealing with here. And so. Yes,
I can tell you right now with the Transformers one, the first episode, the final export, it was, I think that episode is over 2 hours. I don't remember, and I'm not going to look it up right now, but I think that episode is over 2 hours. The final export, the final number of tracks used was something like 117.
I mean, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Well,
because specifically for the Transformers one, we did that special intro thing where we had to throw in clips and quotes and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, because so, I did all the voice characters for everything.
Yeah.
Just to make it unique.
Yeah.
And
yep.
I mean, I had to suffer through that part of it, but you had to suffer to listen to me talk all the time.
No, no, no. That's not. I listen to you talk all the time when we talk on the podcast. What are you talking about? That's okay.
No, I meant like more specifically, like you had to listen to me be different Transformers. That's more so what I was getting at. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I'm super excited to take on the project.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to try something new. And so we'll see where it goes from there. But yeah, like I said, speaking of automations, this is, you know, I use AI specifically as a tool, not as a replacement. Honestly, if I could afford a developer and somebody to mess with the web crap and be like, this is what I want, do it. I would much prefer it, but I don't have that kind of cash. And so with paying for AI to help me develop what I'm asking for, like I'm mostly using it to try and create very simplistic plugins to do things that I was using overly complicated plugins to do. Like they were very bloated. They were like, you know, ones that wanted subscription based crap. And it's like, I really don't need a settings panel. I really don't need all of these extra features. I literally need it for this one key element and I don't need the rest. You know, because a lot of the crap's built into WordPress. Like,
yeah,
the bulk edit tool, the bulk, you know, most of these plugins have things that, like, when I needed to have a featured image updated for like an entire squad of stuff, I had to use a different plugin, then I had to go through a bunch of extra steps and like three different pages and then select all the stuff. And it's like, or I just go through the regular post library, select them, check them off, change the image. Simple. You know, I mean, it's I integrated it with WordPress. So it was like literally a 4 or 8 kilobyte file. And instead of like a megabyte program, like,
yeah.
So and I'm sure some of these things will break as WordPress, you know, changes stuff. But there was even a feature that I'm incorporating for this top 100 that Hank from TPE Entertainment.
Yep.
He had a version of this, but it was very crude. And I couldn't find it. Hmm. And like he quit developing it a couple of years ago. Like he was using somebody to develop it. And this is pre AI. And I tested it out and I was like, okay, this is a cool feature. You know, I like it, but I could never get it to look or do exactly what I needed to do. And he was like, yeah, I'm not really developing it anymore. I sold it to somebody and I was like, okay. And so I started from scratch and I was in a RSS.com Slack channel. And because I generally go in there and help people and kind of coach newbies and people trying out different features. And they were talking about a service we used back in the early days of GCRN. And I knew the name sounded familiar and I couldn't remember why, but it was also because it was 17 years ago. And I was like, it looks familiar. And then I clicked on it. I'm like, oh, this rings a bell. Like, I remember now. And I was like, oh, I'm surprised they're still existing. And, you know, a lot of these use like AI now to transcribe any of this stuff, or, you know, it all goes through their service and you don't own the file, like unless you download it. And it's just a headache. So,
yeah,
I more or less started from scratch and I was like, this is what I want. This is what I want it to look like. And I gave a mock up and then I was like, this is what I want it to do. And after, you know, a week of going back and forth with AI, I had what I wanted. And so I'm still working on a couple other ones. But that being said, there is a downside to AI.
Yes. Shall I get to this? Because
sadly,
I don't know where I found this article. I don't know if I found it in my Google. So I have it's on the charger in my bedroom, but I have a Google Pixel 7 Pro. I need to upgrade my phone eventually. But and so if you swipe left, right, left, whatever, you get to the Google feed. And in the Google feed, it has various interests and whatever to your whatever that you say you're interested in. And I saw an article on, and most of these articles I have to fact check to make sure, like I have to make sure the websites are actually legitimate websites. I'm not clicking on something that isn't a website I've heard of before. Obviously, we all know the Hollywood Reporter, which that's where this is coming from. Articles written by Caitlin Houston. It was published September 9th, 2025. 5,000 podcasts, 3,000 episodes a week, $1 cost per episode. Behind AI startups planned. Former Wondery exec Janine Wright is leading a new firm, Inception Point AI, that's betting on flooding the zone with audio content. Quote, I think that people who are still referring to all AI-generated content as AI slop are probably lazy Luddites, end quote. I'm going to read a good portion of this, folks, because as a 17-year veteran and Steve is a 20-year veteran of podcasting, I... flubber! Why pay a celebrity podcast host millions when you can create your own using AI? Inception Point AI is attempting to do just that. As the company builds a stable of AI talent to host podcasts and eventually become broader influencers across social media, literature, and more, amid the high costs for producing narrative podcasts and pricey short-term contracts for popular hosts. The idea here is being able to own, scale, and control the talent, unlike those off-the-cuff humans. Excuse the flubber out of us! And produce shows at a minimal cost. We believe that, quote, we believe that in the near future, half the people on the planet will be AI. What? Quote, we believe that in the near future, half of the people on the planet will be artificial intelligence. And we are the company that's bringing those people to life, end quote, said CEO Janine Wright, who was previously chief operating officer of the podcasting company Wondery, which has recently had to reorganize under the changing podcast landscape. The company is able to produce each episode for a dollar or less, depending on length and complexity, and attach programmatic advertising to it. This generally means that if about 20 people listen to that episode, the company made a profit on that episode without factoring in overhead. Inception Point AI already has more than 5,000 shows across its Quiet Please podcast network, worst name ever, and produces more than 3,000 episodes a week. Collectively, the network has seen 10 million downloads since its September 2023 debut. I guess, whatever. It doesn't say debut, but since 10 million downloads since September 2023. It takes about an hour to create an episode from coming up with the idea to getting it out into the world. Well, that's nice. The company produces different levels of podcasts. Lowest level involves weather reports for various geographic areas, or simple biographies, and higher levels involving subject area podcasts hosted by one of about 50 AI personalities they've created, including food expert Claire Delish, gardener and nature expert Nigel Thistledown, and Oli Bennett, who covers offbeat sports. As for how it stacks up against human podcasts, I think that people, quote, I think that people who are still referring to all AI-generated content as AI slop are probably lazy Luddites, because there's a lot of really good stuff out there, quote, end quote, Wright said. The company has been recently experimenting with short-form videos and blah, 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 blah. Team is in the midst of navigating the ethics around creating these AI personalities. As the technology advances, each host now identifies themselves as being AI at the top of the episodes, and they stayed away from having the hosts invent their own backstories for now, but that could come. Wright says she could eventually imagine having hosts chat with listeners or sing happy birthday to them, but there's wariness about diving in too deep. Quote, I am not going to create a personality that somebody has a deep relationship with, end quote, said William Corbin, co-founder and CTO of the company. He added that the company does not do hard news at this point, but Wright says they might in the future. This just, not only does this hurt my head, this boils my friggin' biscuits. Are you, the line about her saying AI humans or humans are AI now, are you speak before I throw a curse laden.
I don't think there's like such thing as a Luddite thing for it. I think it's just I think there's just companies that are just producing AI. It's still AI slop. When at the end of the day, it's AI slop. Like there's really no reason to have like AI doing what essentially the human can do. Like I have no interest in a podcast that's hosted by an AI bot. Like yeah, none whatsoever. Like no, I
not at all.
I honestly I want the human interaction. I want the person. Like
You want that connection. You want that, even if the connection isn't voice to voice, even if you don't get to physically talk to them, but being able to reach out to someone like Leo, let's just use him as an example, Leo Laporte or my buddy Mike Sims from Earth2.net or whomever you listen to for podcasts. All right, perfect example. From 2020 to right now in 2025, the last 6 years of Studio 2009, everyone besides you and I that I've done a podcast approach with, all of those podcasters that I've listened to their podcasts and I've had them on the show and I've had them tell their stories about how they listen to or produce their own podcast. All of those people I have interacted with, whether it be via email, via social media, or whatever, I've had a chance to talk to them because I've listened to them and I feel like I know them kind of thing, but I'm not in their personal life every day. I listen to their podcast. I might send them a tweet, say, "Hey, I listened to your latest episode. Great episode. Really like this or this," or, "Hey, I disagree with this," or, "Hey, or this," or whatever, you know, but like the only thing I liked about this article is that they could finish a podcast episode edit in an hour. That's the only thing I liked about this entire article.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I could do the same thing.
Okay. Like,
it's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we don't need. Yeah, no, we don't need. And again, like when Spotify announced AI DJ, I thought the whole point of Spotify was just mute. I mean, obviously you can get podcasts on there and you can listen to us on there and stuff like that. Like, but that's listening to podcasts. I thought the whole point for Spotify for music was to remove the radio part, to remove the DJ, to remove Spotify Premium removes commercials. I thought that was the whole point. So why are you adding in an AI DJ to have the feel of radio again? No, don't do that. No, don't, and stop, please. All right, let's move on to the Hollywood horses or the monkeys. The
Hollywood horses.
The monkeys selfie problem, yes, or
I know
whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, this article was about, and this was done a little bit ago, but it says Hollywood's monkey selfie problem. Who would actually own a movie made by AI? Because as we know, they're cutting corners. They're trying to, you know, see what they can get away with, what they don't have to pay for.
Yep.
They're trying to streamline. And I get that from a person, you know, I mean,
certain perspective. Yeah.
If I could do a movie like on the cheap, I would.
Yep.
But yeah, they were saying like creatives, executives, and legal scholars are all debating what intellectual property even means in the age of machine intelligence. And there's not a whole lot of clarity with it. And they're saying like studios like Lionsgate are hoping to simplify the issue by exploring siloed AI models built entirely on their own IP, so that it's not like stealing or it's not like doing anything outside of their purview. You know, like a ChatGPT or, mm-hmm, you know, a Copilot or a Gemini or, you know, whatever. It's their own, you know, a Lionsgate AI that simply pulls from their own library, which, mm-hmm, I could see, you know, I could see that being more, you know, something that they could have and like own the intellectual property with. They're saying that this Simon Pullman, an attorney who negotiates like rights and transactions, kind of argues that even that approach might be not doable. Like, what if a studio options a graphic novel, then trains its AI model on the book's images and text over the course of months or years, and drags its feet on adapting the book itself? And then, you know, a contract might stipulate that the studio won't pay the property's full purchase price until a movie goes into production, if it ever does. And they're saying like this hypothetical model would still have access to the creative material before the studio's paid an agreed upon rate. So then, yeah, how can you verify what's been used? How can you audit the images or the things, you know, and, you know, it would be impossible. And, you know, what are the final output? It's, you know, they're saying that it's unrealistic to expect all AI generated work to enter the public domain. And at the same time, anything that is created by AI alone is not protected by copyright. And so AI is, after all, the monkey. And yep. So they're saying, you know, what can they do to retain ownership of AI generated IP? And, you know, they're saying there are two ways through it, that one is that you have a human with flesh and blood write at least the original treatment, if not the original script, in this model, everything generated from that treatment would be able to receive protection as a derivative work, meaning that the final film, even if created entirely by AI, would be protected by a copyright. Mm-hmm. Because at the core of it, a human still wrote the story. And according to, you know, Moore, they're saying that like visuals that were created by AI would be open for replication, but the film itself would not, you know. So people could create copies of images from it. And so like you wouldn't get in trouble for, say, having, you know, a Chadwick Boseman picture on your website. but you wouldn't get in trouble if you had the film on your website. So,
well, obviously,
they're saying, you know, the second way to go is that you have the whole thing done by AI, including the treatment. And then at the end, you have someone go through and humanize it by doing either a little colorization, some special effects or editing. You prove that the final version has embedded in it human created creative elements. So small non-material changes, color correction, so on, would not rise to the level of being protectable. And so they agree that, you know, it would be monkeying around, would not protect all of the movie's individual elements, and believes it might prevent someone from ripping off the film wholesale. But the second strategy wouldn't stop someone from reverse engineering a treatment for your film and then having their AI make a version of the film that didn't have all your subtle human tweaks. So in other words, you could re-edit like an entire, you know, film franchise, like, you know, the Obi-Wan, you know, miniseries, and turn it into a film, for instance, and clean it up. Or, you know, you hated the latest Trek series, you know, omitting certain things from it and rewriting this, you know. There's so many different issues with this. There's no clarity on it, obviously, but
yeah,
the studios don't fully know what to do with it. Like it's a constant legal battle, unless you're like someone like me, for instance. Like I'm developing AI stuff and I don't care to copyright it, because at some point I'm sure somebody fed it information and it's getting it from somewhere.
Yep.
And it's creating what I'm asking for, because all the information is publicly accessible.
Yeah.
You know, it's scraping it from somewhere to create the apps, I'm sure. And, or it just has that capability to write the code. But, you know, they're saying pretty much with this AI though, that, you could use AI tools, but it still has to be fundamentally, you know, born from a human and worked on by a human. And like Netflix has like an ethical use of AI, for instance, too, of what you're allowed to do, not allowed to do, and what you're allowed to train and not allowed to train. But they all have their own AI at this point. So it's going to be an interesting time to see over the next 5-10 years what is created by AI, what is protectable, what is not, what we can replicate ourselves, because we're like, hey, I want to make basically a fanfic of this, mm-hmm, and make it do what I want. And, you know, we're also at the point too that all these studios are trying to sue AI, but yet they're kind of the ones that have fed it too.
Yeah, of course. And lastly, I'm just going to bring this up really quick because it kind of means a lot to me. Luckily, they're not erasing what already happened, but Tron producer reveals why it took 15 years to make a new movie. And if Legacy is canon, this is coming from comicbook.com. Article was written by Kofi Outlaw, written September 4th, 2025. And I'm going to focus on the section of the article where it says, when Tron Legacy hit in the 2010s, the world was just getting into mainstream stride with social media. Now we live in a world where the entire generation was raised on digital life, and AI is set for world-shifting evolution any day now, the effects of which no one can accurately predict, according to Springer, one of the producers. Support window of opportunity for this particular Tron movie. I mean, the one thing that's interesting is that it's, quote, a very long time since the development process and a long time since Legacy. But the interesting thing is that with each year that has passed, the idea that doesn't become dated actually becomes more relevant, Springer explained. So basically, I'm going to skip down to where it says, we're not, so basically Tron Ares is a new story. They are not telling the continuing story from Tron Legacy. So Tron Legacy was supposed to have a sequel. It was going to be called Tron Ascension because that was the whole point. At the end of Legacy, Sam and Korra went into the real world. And that third movie was supposed to be called Tron Ascension. That's why on the Blu-ray or DVD or whatever it was, they had the special feature Tron the Next Day, where Boxleitner, Tron, his character meets up with Ram in the real world and they talk about the company and whatever else. But he says that we're not telling that story right now in deciding to move forward to a new story, but we're not undoing that either. So it's still out there. So at least they're not erasing the second film. They're just moving past it and telling a completely different story. And honestly, out of all, because I've kept up with Tron Ares, I've seen the official trailer, I've seen some of the behind the scenes stuff. I'm about to listen to the soundtrack after we record this podcast because it's out now. Soundtrack this time around is done by Nine Inch Nails. Last time for Legacy, it was done by Daft Punk, which I think at this point, Daft Punk have broken up, unfortunately, but it is what it is. I'm interested. I don't care that it's Leto. I've seen him in the trailer and in the behind the scenes stuff. He's fine. Whatever. Doesn't matter to me. Thank God he's not in Joker makeup. But it's a new Tron movie. I'm curious about it. So, yep. And, those are all the news articles.
Yeah. And then we get to, I am excited for Tron. Don't get me wrong. So,
yeah. Cool.
We'll have to see what transpires when this comes out.
It's yep.
So that being said, we have the fact that Warner Brothers has been tossed around like a bad ex-girlfriend that nobody wants from different studios, and.
You know, back in my kids, there were three studios, Warner Brothers, Paramount, and Columbia Pictures, and they all kind of got along. Sometimes they would fight, sometimes they would argue, and then they would make deals, and everybody was happy. And now, look at what the fakakta has happened.
Yeah. Yeah, so they announced, I mean, as everybody knows, like CBS and Paramount split, you know, in the mid-2000s, and then they remerged over the last couple of years, went from CBS to just flat-out Paramount. And
Viacom, yeah.
Well, Viacom, I think, spun them off.
Yep.
And, yeah, so CBS and Paramount remerged, and then Skydance bought Paramount.
Yeah, that's surprising.
Well, I'm kind of happy about that because that means that we're more likely going to be in luck for new Trek content. So I'm a little excited about it. I'm not gonna lie. So anyways, Paramount with, you know, Skydance, Ellison is eyeing Warner Brothers Discovery and. Mm. You know, sparked rumors that also Netflix and others are also evaluating the Legendary Studio, which happens to be on the theatrical hot streak in 2025. Meanwhile, you know, they're all running the numbers and, you know, confirmed David Ellison's Paramount Skydance is preparing mostly cash bid for all of Warner Brothers. Backed by his father, Larry's Oracle fortune. And then the rumor is Netflix is considering a bid, according to a lot of different sources. And, you know, they likely only want the studio and streaming assets. So, like, I think they would want, you know, the superheroes, like all of the stuff that they could get from it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, on you know, I mean, if you're getting all the Hanna-Barbera, you're getting all the, you know, all of the animation stuff. I mean, that's like a gold mine for Netflix. And then they really wouldn't need HBO Max.
No, unfortunately, I mean, not.
They could almost spin them as a separate channel. Ugh. Like a separate like how Disney does it.
Yeah.
With like the National Geographic and things like that. Like,
yeah,
if they could have their own category in there. I mean, all of this stuff would be easily accessible, but they could break it down to like all of this stuff that originally was released on HBO or Cinemax could show up there.
And yeah, I have a problem with that because I am an HBO Max subscriber.
I could see that, but if Netflix takes it, there's no reason for, I mean, that would be like Disney keeping Hulu a separate app. Like, I could see them phasing it out.
Yeah, I know. I understand, but.
Yeah, they're not going to keep it if they buy it.
Yeah, true.
It's just, it's either it lives on as a channel or it doesn't survive at all. Or maybe they spin it as like Netflix's like geek website hub. So it's, you know, the HBO Max hub or, you know, the HBO hub, mm. you know, home box, you know, Netflix's HBO mm. or home box office and just get rid of the HBO and call it home box office.
Well, it's still HBO.
I know, but naming wise, it doesn't make sense with Netflix. So and then NBC Universal, which is owned by Comcast, has been running the numbers too, and they have a lot more regulatory hurdles, making them a long shot because they also own Universal. You know, I mean, it's NBC yeah. and Universal owned by Comcast. I don't see them allowing them to own it. Like, it's different from like where Amazon bought MGM.
Yeah,
because it was a legacy studio that was bought by Amazon to be their yeah. studio.
Yeah.
And so like in that, you know, it's not like Columbia Pictures being bought by Sony. And, you know, yeah. I feel like each of these conglomerates should be allowed to own one of the original tentpoles, but not yeah. multiple.
Yeah, no, not multiple. And so, I still can't believe Sony owns Columbia. I forgot about yeah. that.
Yeah,
when I hear Sony, I don't think Sony Pictures. I think Sony Walkman. I think Sony CD player. I think
PlayStation.
Yeah, PlayStation. Well, I don't think Sony Pictures.
So, and the funny part is they, you know, and then Disney, you know, Fox owned like New Line Cinema and a bunch of other ones.
Yep.
And Disney owns all of those. Like yep. they own like 50 different studios under their name now.
Yeah.
I don't know if I honestly hope that Paramount Skydance gets to buy Warner Brothers. Mm. I hope because it'll put Paramount and Warner Brothers on an even playing field with Disney and Netflix.
Yeah, that's true.
They're saying that if they bought them, they would have as many subscribers between, because right now they have a, you know, Paramount and HBO mm-hmm. Max have a fraction of what Netflix or Disney has.
Yeah.
But combined,
they would
have this massive, like they would still be third, but they would actually be third to yeah. Netflix and Disney. And yep. so that would put them at such an advantage because I also see Paramount being like, well, we're going to keep around all of these old, you know, I feel like they would still probably have two different apps.
Yeah.
But it would be a different way of like spinning it. Oh, if you want more content, get the HBO Max, but, right. or they may roll it all into HBO Max and just have Paramount be Paramount and have, you know, the Plus go over to the HBO side. I don't know, yeah. but,
run that top three again by me
of who's looking to buy WB.
No, what the top three would be.
It would be Netflix, Disney, and then the Paramount HBO. Or Paramount Warner Brothers.
I just had a 40-year flashback to 1985. Holy shnikes. 40 years ago in 1985, it was NBC, ABC, and CBS. were all vying on television for that top three, that whoever was going to be number one, number two, number three on TV. And again, 40 years ago, it was Warner Brothers, Paramount, and Columbia as the movie studios vying for the top three spots. And now, 40 years later, current day in 2025, listed again.
Netflix, Disney, and Paramount.
Jesus Christ.
So Amazon is, you know, I know they're up there too, and I know that NBC Universal is up there as well, but I honestly don't see any reason to have either of those. Like, Netflix is always my number one. Disney is like kind of the number two, and then if Paramount got WB, that would be a number three. Like, those would be the top three that I feel like people would be like, okay, I gotta have these, you know. And
For me, it's like, I'll get Netflix again at some point. It's not a major thing for me, but for me, Disney is major because David Draper and I cover a lot of the Star Wars stuff.
Makes on sense.
2009, and because Disney owns Hulu, and because my new favorite show, even though I knew about this show when it came out last year, but I never really, it's funny, when you don't pay attention to stuff, it doesn't really come across your timeline or whatever on social media. When you start paying attention to it and you post like two different or three different posts about it, all of a sudden it's freaking everywhere. And just, I started watching ABC's High Potential. It's this new comedy cop drama show. And it's really funny and it's really awesome. I'm at the last episode of the first season. They are releasing the second season now on Hulu, so I'm probably going to wait until they fully release the second season to actually watch it, because I hate appointment television. I would rather binge on my own time. But it's one of those things where, for me right now, Disney, I've already paid for it for a year. I don't get charged again until April of next year. So it's already paid for. So, you know, it is what it is. And luckily, when they said that they were going to fully envelope Hulu in, I had already canceled my Hulu subscription at the time. I have been a Hulu proponent since day one because I liked how the Hulu app and everything else was laid out on it. I liked what they offered. I liked the way the user interface was on the Hulu. I watch things on my computer, so really it was the website that I liked. The app was fine, but I really don't watch things on my phone. And I really, at the time, back then, I didn't have a TV nice enough to really warrant watching things. Like right now, I have a 55-inch 4K television, so of course I'm going to watch stuff on it. But, so now that Disney owns them and it's included in Disney Plus and blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, I mean, it's just funny how things change, but they kind of, that's my point about bringing up the TV stations from 40 years ago or the movie studios from 40 or 50 or 60 years ago to now with Netflix, Disney, and blah, 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 you know, being in the first top three spots. I find myself buying episodes or seasons of stuff on Amazon more so than using the Prime benefits to stream stuff on Prime.
See, I hate Amazon Prime for their video. I legitimately do, because they kind of trick you and say, oh, we have that, but you got to subscribe to this other service. Like, it's not included. And so in that regard, like, I really don't like them. And I'm more apt to go somewhere else. Like, honestly, I'll, you know, if Tubi has it, I'll go to Tubi. If, you know, whoever else has it, like, I'll go, you know, unless it's another pay thing. And then I'm like, well, I don't really care enough to see it right now anyway. And then I'll just hit up like a local library, which still rents movies.
Yep.
And they don't cost nothing.
Yep. No. Tubi is amazing. Tubi is one of the best resources out there. So,
but yeah, just because all these studios are thinking about bids doesn't guarantee that they'll get them.
Yeah, true.
Look how long it took Skydance to get Paramount.
Yeah, very true.
But the Ellisons that own Skydance want all of WB, including the debt, the cable channels that everyone else is avoiding. Most buyers can't or won't pay for all of WB is losing TV channels.
Yeah.
But the Ellisons, and they have the Oracle fortune backing them.
Yep.
So they're willing to take everything to avoid a bidding war for just, you know, the streaming and studio assets that everybody else wants. But it's also like industry people are freaking out because they're saying it could be fewer buyers, which equals fewer projects getting greenlit. And they're terrified of Netflix buying it because, you know, for cinema purists, because they're like, imagine Batman, Harry Potter, and, you know, Barbie all being trapped behind a streaming paywall. Which eventually they all end up there anyway.
It's true. Like,
yeah, you get the cinema, and then afterwards, they're on a paywall. You can't watch any of the Batman series on Netflix anymore because, like, they're all on, you know, the WB. Or like Justice League used to be on there. That's gone. Because I honestly used to watch like Justice League on Netflix.
Oh, that's right, because it's on HBO Max.
Yeah, I mean, you can watch The Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, Supergirl, Arrow. Like, you can watch
the
CW stuff, but you can't watch any of the... Yep. And so they all used to be on Netflix.
Yep.
Give or take. Like, they didn't have Batman the Animated Series or Batman Beyond or Superman, but they had Justice League and Unlimited. And so, I mean, there's you know, I mean, right now they've got some Scooby-Doo stuff. And then, like, you have some Paramount stuff with, like, Ninja Turtles, you know, the 2012 series. You got some Disney with, you know, Spider-Man.
This is why I'm so glad that I bought the Batman Beyond and the Justice League Blu-rays when they came out.
Well, and I used to have all the DVDs. Like, yeah. I got rid of all that stuff ages ago. What's funny is I was looking, because, I mean, every once in a while you can find crap on archive.org.
Yeah.
But I was looking through my hard drive and I'm like, oh, before I sold them, I ripped them all to my computer.
That's right.
Well, and I found them like after I've been looking for weeks, like I was trying to figure out, you know, because I don't have them. Like, the only place you can buy any of these DVDs is by chance at like Walmart. And it's not stupid expensive. It's really not.
No, it's not.
It's just more so like, I'm like, where the heck am I going to put it? Like, I don't have... Like, I mean, my geek office is blown up again over the last 5 years, and I really don't have the real estate for DVDs. I like them to some degree, but at the same time, it's like, when do I ever, like, my laptops, my new laptops have no DVD player. They have no disc player. So, like, it's completely useless there. My desktop, I have a disc player, but I also have the digital file. So it's like, when am I going to ever put the disc in? And then
that's, you know, also...
And in my living room, I have a Blu-ray player, but it's so ancient that, I mean, it's an early Sony. It barely functions anymore without making a sound, you know, so I'm kind of at this loss. I'm like, I want them, like, I want to own them, but at the same time, I don't have the space for them. So, like, the digital file is better, but I don't want to, like, unless I've owned them in the past, like, I don't have the, you know. I don't have the digital file unless I physically own the disc at one, because that's I ripped them all before I got rid of them.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I like Fandango at Home. It used to be Vudu through Walmart, but Fandango at Home just I like that because I have the same thing. Like I had, like when I got the Batman Beyond physical media thing, came with a digital copy code for the entire series. So I have it both in physical media and in digital media.
See, I just don't like them tied to an app. Like if I physically had the file, like the MP4, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I understand that.
But I mean, anymore, I've like Beast Wars. I have the discs still.
Mm-hmm.
Yet. I have 4K versions.
Yeah.
That somebody converted to 4K upscale. Because one, they're not HD. Like the discs from Shout Factory are not HD.
They're not HD. They need to be. They better do something for the 30th anniversary next year.
I hope so. I mean, they need to they need to come out with like the discs, like the 30th anniversary of Beast Wars, and then have it come with a soundtrack disc, but have all of the different actual musics.
Yep.
Because I still have the ones that like Brian Kilby gave me years and years and years and years ago. When we started the Geekcast Radio Network after I'd been doing all things Transformers for a hot second there. And he had somehow gotten versions of it without audio. And I was like, oh, these are cool. I think they edited some of them. But at the same time, like they were good enough. There was like 84 tracks or something. And I was like, OK, this is decent enough that I can work from it. And then I found some Beast Machines music. So like I was able to do the Megatron, you know, for the Beast Unleashed podcast commercial. Yeah. And so, I mean, all of those just worked great. But yeah, it'd be nice if they did something decent for that. And then
they better.
And I hope Hasbro does, too. Like, I hope we get like a transmittal Megatron. I hope we get a depth charge. I hope we get, you know, updated versions of some of these characters that can kind of go with the anniversary of it. But yeah, it's neither here nor there. But anyways, I think this about wraps this episode up.
Yup.
So remember, if you would like to hear your feedback on this episode or leave us a question and answer, you can email feedback@geekcastradio.com or comment on the episode post. Thanks as always for listening to Altered Geek. I've been your host, Steve Megatron, with TFG with Mike. And until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
He's an old man. He lost his tabs. What's that tab doing in the closet? That tab got deranged. With every episode, we'll unravel the themes. Let's geek out and laugh. Keep the spirits high. Together we'll journey, reaching for the sky. Join the discussion. Let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Altered Geek Podcast, remember the name.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.